His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz. His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by Brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
Bring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this. Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You son of bitches, get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power, black power, and more black power. This is your brother and comrade, Brother Sean Kwali, talking to you live from the pits, hells, and smells of North America, thanking you for your attention and your time once again on Black Power Radio. It is my honor to be, of course, joined by our powerful, esteemed co-host, Sister Fasami, Black Power comrade.
Black Power, brother. How are you?
Doing fantastic, as always. How you doing?
I'm doing blacktacular, as Sister Tiffany, as she invented that word.
blacktacular, black like a black portal, huh? So, look, we're here, and as always, when we go on the air, y'all know we're going to give you at least 60 minutes of nothing but black revolution, black power, and black statistics to give you the black ballistics. And so the topic tonight, Sasami, is freedom or death, huh? Freedom or death. And we want to really, really dig off into the topic. Are we really free today? You know, how does freedom apply to the black man and woman today? What is full and complete freedom? What does it look like? What does it taste like? What does it smell like? What does it mean for the black man and the black woman to be free here in 2010 and on into the future? Now, many of you who see the Panther uniform, the first thing that you see is the insignia that says freedom or death on it, all right? But we want to really dig into what that means, not only for those who are just members of the black nation, but also for those of you who are members of the new Black Panther Party. It doesn't do us any good to wear the insignia and have the motto, and we don't know what the hell we're talking about. And so that's the topic tonight, comrade. What you think about that?
I think, are you asking me what do I think about the insignia, or what do I think about what does it taste like, feel like, or what is it?
What do you think about just what does it taste like? What does it feel like? I mean, and the insignia, hell.
Man, we ain't known that for 6,000 years. I'm not quite sure, brother, what it feels like or tastes like, or excuse me, or what it is. But as far as how do I feel about freedom or death?
Right.
It's either or. You know, it's funny. I was reading something from Harriet Tubman. She said, I freed 1,000 slaves, and I could have freed 1,000 more if only they would have known they were slaves.
They didn't even know they were slaves. Let me ask you this. How do you see people getting hung from trees? You see a brother like Emmett Till getting killed over whistling over a white woman. You know, you see all the stuff that was going on back then, you know, and even further back around when Harriet Tubman was around. How did we not know we was enslaved?
Well, you didn't have the mass media outlets that you have now, even though we're having a total blackout, because if it wasn't for Facebook or that's what it is. It's called a media whiteout. Thank you for the correction. But if it wasn't for one of my comrades, Godzulu, who told me about this young 15-year-old boy being assassinated today by the police, I would have never known. But there was a time where the media outlets kind of told you half the truth or half of a story. But you got to think back in Harriet Tubman days, you know, a lot of black people didn't even know how to read. A lot of information was sent word of mouth. And a lot of information got skewed as it went from one person to the next. So, you know, a lot of people wasn't aware of these things. So that's how that's why we celebrate Juneteenth. Because that's when they found out, I guess, in Texas, that they were actually free. So, physically away from bondage.
Where did the young brother get assassinated at?
I think in Stockton, California.
Hmm.
I sent it out to everybody in their Facebook, everybody, national on down. I sent it to everybody.
Pigs just running buck wild, huh?
The family was threatened and brutalized by these pigs, and then they shoot and kill his son.
Wow.
So.
So this is another example, family, of why we need freedom. Why we need freedom. You know, I remember the song by Public Enemy. Really was by Flavor Flav. And he said that 911 is a joke. You know, and I mean, hell, if we can't even dial 911 for protection, and you know you can't, then I mean, who in the hell are you supposed to look for protection in this nation, in this world? Who in the hell do you trust?
The same people that they scared of, the same people that have the insignia on their patch that says freedom or death, those are the people you call when you need protection.
You speaking some truth there. I think let's hear it from Minister Malcolm, because I know that, you know, and I know that some of y'all anti-Malcolm actions, y'all don't like to hear from Malcolm, but hell, you got to take another look at Malcolm, because Minister Malcolm X, and granted, he got a large portion of what he learned from the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We're not taking none of that away. But when you look at what Minister Malcolm X brought, not only to the Nation of Islam, but also to the world, in terms of the way that he presented black nationalism and the way that he presented self-defense and the way that he presented his platform and program to the black nation, this is something that was not only good for the 60s, but it's good for today. And so I want to play a quick clip, as we always give you the history, the fact, proof, and truth. We'll play a quick clip from Minister Malcolm X on freedom, and then we'll dig off into the show. So let's hear from our brother, Minister Malcolm X.
No Negro leaders have fought for civil rights. They have begged for civil rights. They have begged the white man for civil rights. They have begged the white man for freedom. And anytime you beg another man to set you free, you will never be free. Freedom is something that you have to do for yourself. And until the American Negro lets the white man know that we are really, really ready and willing to pay the price that is necessary for freedom, our people will always be walking around here second-class citizens, or what you call 20th century slaves.
What price are you talking about, sir?
The price of freedom is death.
All right. So look, so Minister Malcolm X, in this interview now, he says that until the so-called Negro is willing to pay the price for freedom, he says that then we'll always be walking around as what you call 20th century slaves, you know. And so the reporter asked the question, what is that price? He said the price of freedom is death. Now, let's talk on that. Let's put a little weight on that, because now you know Minister Malcolm now, a world traveler, a man who, as you said last week, or in the last show, Sister Vasami, read the dictionary from cover to cover. This ain't no dumb man talking. This ain't no man that's just talking out the side of his neck. This is an individual who is well studied. Okay, when they put him up against Harvard debate teams, he would spank them and drill them and beat them down. They put him up against Negroes and Toms in debates, he'd spank them and beat them down. So this man
knows what he's talking about. He knows what he's talking about in terms of revolution and revolutionary warfare. He studied revolution, met with Fidel Castro. It's a man that knows what he means. So he says that until we're willing to pay the price, we will always be walking around as second-class citizens or 21st-century slaves. Now, the question is that in 2010, now this was an interview that was done back in the early 60s, all right? So here we are. We are a long ways up from the early 60s now. We're in 2010. Now, the question is, was Minister Malcolm X writing exactly what he said? Are we walking around today as 20 or 21st century slaves? Are we walking around today as second-class citizens? And if we are, why are we doing that?
Yes. I mean, and it goes back to what I just quoted from Harriet Tubman. They don't know they're slaves. They've been so beat down, conditioned, and oppressed. I'm sure a lot of our audience are listening are familiar with the Pavlov conditioning, Pavlov theory, and his theory of conditioning with the dog and the bell ringing and the salivating and all that other stuff. We have been so conditioned in our present condition. We've been so accustomed to being at the bottom of the food chain. We've been so conditioned to hate one another, hate ourselves, hate what's staring back at us in the mirror, that, of course, they don't know they're slaves. So, of course, they're walking around as 21st century slaves. And, yes, he was right and exact on what he said. The price of freedom is death. Everybody, and I've said this, I have my comrade in the chat room. What's up, Beanie Weenie? Anyway, me and him have discussed this many a day. The red man knows what the price of freedom is. The white man knows what it is. The yellow man, everybody knows what the price of freedom is. But for some reason, the black man thinks that freedom is going to knock on his door, revolution is going to knock on his door and tell him, hey, I come to deliver, you're free. With no work, no fight, no bloodshed, no money. Because revolution is funded by money. It's carried out through bloodshed. See what I'm saying? Right. So they think all this. It seems like we're the only ones lost in the sauce, and we can't understand or conceptualize or wrap our brains around the fact that, yes, the price of freedom is death, and you're going to see some comrades die. Hell, you may die. But once you understand that death is not, it's not the end, your energy cannot be created nor destroyed, then you have nothing to fear. And that's why they can't win the war. They couldn't win the war in Vietnam, and they can't win the war in Afghanistan and Iraq, because these people are not afraid to die. They understand what it is. It's not the end. So when you're dealing with a people who are not afraid to die, you're dealing with a dangerous people. See, the reason why they're not dealing with a dangerous people when they're dealing with us is because we're afraid to die. You know, we're gonna burn a fiery brimstone, whatever the hell that is. You know, we're going to burn eternally. We're going to whatever. Our teeth are going to be gnashing and all this other scary, spooky stuff that they talk about. But the bottom line is, when you're not afraid of that anymore, when you understand it's all a hoax, it's all a psychological game, it's all a mental mind fuck, once you can wrap your brain around that and understand that if I don't die for this, if I'm not willing to put my life on the line for this, then I'm not fit to live.
So what you're saying, what you're breaking down to us, Fasami, in a beautiful way, is you're saying that the reason why we don't have the things that we should have is because we're afraid to die. Is that what we're hearing?
Absolutely.
And so does that mean that we don't have an understanding of what death is, or we don't have an understanding of what life is?
Say that again?
Does that mean that we don't have an understanding of death, or we don't understand the actual meaning of life?
I think both. To be honest, man, look, we're not living. We're just surviving. This is not really living. Living is to be, okay, first of all, we are surviving. Let me tell you what I mean by this. Your natural self should not have to go to work on a plantation to make somebody else rich, have all your stocks taken away from you, shares crash, all this other bull crap. When Wall Street crashes, have nothing to retire off of, but you made this company millions and billions and trillions of dollars. Your life isn't supposed to be consumed with this daily routine of getting up and all that. That's not what life is about. That's not living. That's not what life is really about. And see, Africans knew that. Every indigenous kind of people understood that. That this is not living. Of course, if you want to eat, you got to get up and work. You got to get out there and you got to, you know, get your bulls or your cows or your yams or whatever it is you got to get to feed and sustain your family. But just working like a slave, you know, that's not what life is really about. So we're surviving. So, no, we don't understand what life really is about. Now, I'm not giving anybody any excuses to be lazy and not go to work tomorrow. Okay? That's not what I'm doing. I'm just saying we're caught up in the matrix. And we make our money in the matrix, and we retreat out of the matrix. You know what I'm saying? So as of right now, no, we are just surviving. Now, death, we don't understand that either, because we get our whole ideology or our idea of what death is from the Bible 9 times out of 10. About 95% of blacks in America are Christians. So we get what death is and the afterlife is from the Bible. Right. When you talk about fiery brimstone, I don't even know what the hell brimstone is. Have you ever seen brimstone? You seen that? I mean, you don't even know what this is. And what are teeth gnashing and you're calling out and, you know, you got skin. I mean, how much skin do you have to fall off of you in a pit of hell, in a lake of fire? I don't understand it, but, whatever, you know, whatever, such is life. So, huh?
I said, what? Burning with a devil with pitchfork and pantyhose.
Exactly. You know, you really don't, you know, you get that concept from the Bible, so you really don't understand what death is. But when you break down the science of it, you understand that you have a physical shell, and that physical shell encompasses your energy. Everything is energy, from the words that we speak and the vibrations, the thoughts that we think and the vibrations. Everything is energy. It cannot be created nor destroyed. And once you understand that, you cannot be created nor destroyed. Once this physical flesh perishes, your energy goes on to wherever it needs to go on to.
Right.
So once you understand that, you have nothing to fear anymore. So you're not afraid of dying.
So let's talk.
And you're not afraid to live.
Let's talk about that, because for all intents and purposes, now we heard from Minister Malcolm earlier, and he also talked about the difference between the Negro Revolution and the Black Revolution, if we can remember. He said that the Negro Revolution was the bloodless revolution. That saying that you say that the reason why that the Negro is not free is because the Negro is afraid to bleed. All right, so my question to you, my question to the audience is, how do we move past being in a Negro Revolution into a full-fledged Black Revolution or African Revolution or a real revolution? That's my question. How do we get past this Negro stage? Because this Negro stuff ain't working. Dr. Khalid Muhammad, in his last speech to on this planet, his speech was entitled Enough Negro Stuff. You know, enough Negro stuff. So how do we move past this Negro Revolution, you know, this kind, gentle revolution that, you know, we do a little fighting, then we go back and watch television. How do we get past this Negro Revolution into a real full-fledged revolution?
You get in contact with sisters like Ancient Consciousness, who's in the chat room right now, and you contribute these funds that's going to fund this revolution. I, as well as her, are working on international contacts. You see what I'm saying? I'm not going to put it all out there, but I'm going to put a little bit out there. You know, my thing is you invest in your people. That's what you do. You get in contact with the sister. Sister, do me a favor. Put your contact information in the chat room for all those who want to know how to invest in our people, because a revolution has to have money to fund it.
Right.
We get away from this Negro stuff, you know, sitting. I kind of appreciate what they did, and I kind of don't appreciate it, because hindsight is always 20/20. Integration definitely wasn't the answer, and getting hit in the head with ketchup bottles definitely was not the answer, okay?
Right,
I'm not
going
to take away from what our elders and our ancestors had to endure, getting bit by police dogs and water hoses and all that horrific graphic stuff. I uphold them and I venerate them for enduring what they did, and I believe that they had a heart of gold. The lower level ones had a heart of gold, and they went in it with a pure heart.
Right.
But the higher ups knew exactly what it is that they were doing. The higher ups knew exactly what kind of Negro revolution they were going for. You see what I'm saying? Why do I have to beg to eat at your bland ass, no season in heaven, dirty? You don't, crackers don't wash their hands. Okay?
True.
So here you are preparing my food, you don't wash your hands, and you ain't even got no seasoning, so no lorry, nothing? So I'm begging to eat at your counter when I can go over to Miss Bessie's diner, you know what I'm saying, or my grandma's house and get some real good food? Nah, why am I, really, what's the purpose of me begging for your stuff when I already have the best stuff anyway? We already had our banks. We already had our transit authority. We already had everything, our schools, our teachers, our doctors, our lawyers, our neighborhoods. We had it all. But it was something.
Let's not forget that Marcus Garvey had steamlined ships and everything. He had it already going himself.
That's right. So we already had it all. So when it gets down to it, you know, if you want a real African revolution, it's funded. So you need to go ahead and invest in it. I'm getting so sick and tired. Brother Mia, you talked earlier. Me and Brother God Zulu have talked. Me and Ancient Consciousness have talked. Me and Lady Azet have talked. Everybody who's probably listening right now, some form or fashion, we have engaged with them. You see what I'm saying? And I'm so tired of hearing men, black men and women, African men and women talking about freedom and revolution. I hate to quote this brother, but I'm going to quote him just like I said on Lady Azet's show yesterday. The revolution has already jumped off. You just not engaging. You're suffering from an ass whoop. Brother Seti said this. You see what I'm saying? I hate to quote that, brother, but that it's the truth.
But that's true.
And truth is truth.
That's real.
I'm getting so sick of people talking about revolution, but when it comes to putting your money where your mouth is, you get stupid. All of a sudden, you ain't understanding English. You can't comprehend shit, but yet and still you can bounce all these esoteric Negro ideas off your head and play all these mental acrobats, but when it comes time to be practical and put this stuff to apply this stuff to our daily life, we get deaf, dumb, and blind all of a sudden. We get like a Mexican, hobless, no English. We get real dumb.
And something that the comrade said that I thought was true along that same line, he said that's really why when you look at the youth in most of our cities and most of our movements and even in the churches and all that, they don't respect it because he's saying that really, hell, they're getting their asses kicked and we're getting our asses kicked by the enemy. You know what I mean?
That's right.
I mean, for all intents and purposes, it's like how can I join with you and get on with you when you're talking about freedom and you're talking about getting free and then your movement is weak. You know what I mean? Or your movement is integrated or your movement is bowing down.
But the bottom line is you have to ask them, brothers and sisters, how badly do you want to be free?
Yeah.
First of all, you have to recognize, or do you recognize that you're a slave? That's number one. Do you recognize you're not free? Now, if you say yes, you recognize that, then you have to ask them how badly do you want to be free? Once you get over that hurdle, then you have to ask, well, if you're not afraid, if you understand that you're free, and you've already explained to me how badly you want to get free, then how about this? You forego one night at the club, take that $40, $50 you would have spent at the titty bar, and invest it in this community fund that Ancient Consciousness got going on for all of us, not just the Black Panthers, not just her organization, it's for all of us.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you. I mean, okay, so we got money to go to the titty bar, right? We got money to do whatever we want to do. So isn't that the money that we should be using to fund the revolution?
Absolutely. This is what it's all about. Brother, that's we're saying the same exact thing. That's what it's all about. You cannot have a revolution without money. First of all, while we're sitting up here dealing with little stuff, and we're donating $5, we're donating $10 instead of, again, so we can go out and buy a $130 pair of Jordans, but we can't invest in this. That's the reason why our brothers are getting our kings, our warriors, our Ogun men, our Shango men. They're getting railroaded by this government, this system. They're getting thrown in jail to keep these warriors behind bars. Let these weak, emasculate men, not saying those men who are out on the outside in the free world, all of y'all are emasculated. No. What I'm saying is, what I'm saying is that the majority of men behind bars, they just really don't give a damn about the law.
Right.
And that's the reason why they spend so much money making sure they stay behind bars. They're not afraid to fight. They're not afraid to bust. They're not, so we need to get money together to get these brothers out, to secure attorneys so another brother won't get railroaded. I mean, what if the community fund or whatever we're going to invest in, whatever we want to call it, it needs to be in one central location. Everybody needs to have access to it to be able to see how it's growing, who donated what, all that good stuff. But it needs to be totally and utterly ours. No Jewish contributions, no cracker contributions, no Hispanic contributions, no contributions outside of the black race. Afro-Hispanic, that's fine. But other than that, no. You can't contribute to it, and it's totally ours.
You've raised an interesting point. You talked about Michael Jordan now. And I don't know how many of y'all have actually met Mike in person, but Mike ain't the most friendliest person in the world. I'm just going to tell y'all the truth. But look, here's a man that's making millions of dollars, right? And he's not kicking nothing back to the black struggle. Nothing. Now, I can at least say, as much trash and dirt as they talk about Michael Jackson, Michael under the table was kicking money to the black struggle. A lot of y'all don't know that, but Mike was kicking
And a
money.
Lot of y'all don't listen to his lyrics, and God Zulu is the one who actually made me listen to this man's lyrics and listen to how, for where he was in his point in time in life, how revolutionary they were.
Right, right. So my question now is how do we link, since these are like LeBron James, getting these $30 million contracts, how can we link our entertainers or those who's getting this kind of money now to our struggle? Do we need somebody to go in undercover? Or do we need, what can we do? Because if they got this much money, man, then we need y'all to break bread.
Why do you think when I had got kicked off this website called Liberation Unit, Let's Get Free. The reason why I got kicked off that website was because I called a cracker out. His name was Roster John. Matter of fact, I go back from time to time to check to see the members and see who's still there. He's still there with a Rastafarian flag trying to hide his cracker face. But basically, I made a forum or a thread to say who in the hell left the gate open, why are these crackers in here anyway? I got banned. The cracker is still there, though. So when Godzulu wanted, when we was making this website, he was like, what do you want to name it? And I was like, the Drop Squad, because all I can remember was Spike Lee's movie and how these militant black people would just ride down on these sellout coon buffoon Negroes and snatch them up and de-whitewash their brains. And they sent them back out in the community to do the right thing. And maybe I don't know, brother, I'm not trying to promote any kind of violence on their airwaves, but you hear what I'm not saying? Maybe Spike Lee was a little bit before his time.
Yeah?
I don't know. But we're not promoting that, of course. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying.
Let's go to the phone line. You raised an interesting point. 803-298. You are on the air, Black Power Radio. Your question or your comment? Talk black to us.
Yes, I got a comment regarding your question.
Hey, Sister Tiffany.
You know I was coming in. And I feel another thing we can do that was important is investing in our people. Do the start that also is break this Willie Lynch cycle. And we got to stop this crab in the barrel syndrome, stop the internal jealousy and fighting amongst each other because nobody want to give because they're so worried about who's going to have something else before them. So we need to break that cycle also. Just like the Rothschild dynasty built their dynasty not about who they like. They did it for their cause. And we have a cause, too, and we're trying to build our movement and our revolution, and we need to stop this internal fighting and band together.
That's right. That's right, but how do you stop that when it's ingrained in our very fiber, in our very soul, sis? How do you stop? How do you just say, black people, stop the Willie Lynch? When a lot of people don't even know how they live and what they're doing and how they speak and how they act and their body language. It exudes the Willie Lynch syndrome. How do you just wake up and say, hey, stop the Willie Lynch syndrome? How do you do that?
You got to give them the knowledge. We got to give them the education, open their eyes, open their minds to themselves. And it's basic conversation. I know I've sat and talked with plenty of people, and one-on-one, they get it. And then they get in the group and want to follow what everybody else is doing because now it don't seem so cool when you know how you felt one-on-one. So it's going to take some work, but we got to get everybody to realize that we love ourselves and we got to band together as a people, so... It's all about education.
Okay. Absolutely. But when does it come a time to stop? Look, sister, we almost, and everybody knows about this 2012 stuff. Look, it's coming. It's coming. It's here. I mean, hell, look, heat index 120 degrees in South Carolina today. You know, I know, we know how hot it was down here, okay? You don't think something strange? I know the South is hot, but God, dog, really? That hurts?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Something is going on, the polar shift, all this other stuff. Look, when does it come time that, okay, look, we got it. Hell, you're about 6 years younger than me. You got it.
I tell people,
I got it, so why can't they get it? They got access to the same information that we got. And if they haven't gotten it yet, when do we start closing ranks and saying, all right, we got everybody that we need on board. If y'all ain't got it yet, you need to hurry up and get it and jump on board. If not, we're about to go ahead and close this daggone door because it's going down.
It's getting hot.
It's getting hot, yeah.
That's what I've been explaining to anyone that'll listen to me. I say, hey, look, y'all see how the sun is not like the cracker is burning their skin up, but we ready for it. How we can stand out here and sweat. That's the worst that's going to happen to us. We just going to sweat. And I'm getting the, I know I'm reacting, so that don't tell you that it's us that's supposed to be us, so we need to band together. This is our world, and we need to be ready for it. And I get the one-on-one, then you get in the group, and you don't want to look crazy. So that's what we're working on now, at least in Newberry, trying to get people to get over that wanting to follow the bandwagon and follow what's real.
Well, sister, it's funny that you say that, and I'm sorry, Brother Sean Qualley, I'm going to let you go ahead and interject in 1 second. I just want to say this. You keep speaking about, look, these people are afraid of looking crazy. You put up a video on Facebook of our national chairman speaking, and at 1 minute and 49 seconds, I see a green haze go across the screen, a neon green haze. I didn't know what it was at first because I'm like, what? I know I didn't see that. So I had to rewind it. And this is in Newberry, South Carolina. And I went back to like 1:45. And it comes back off again at 1:49. I'm like, I'm really seeing this. So I told my husband, I was like, baby, come look at this. Tell me, what do you see? Neon green now. We go back to 1:45 and let it play to 1:49. He's like, oh, that's green hair. You going to tell me you're afraid. You're afraid of looking crazy. you see what I'm saying? You see where I'm going with this, right, sis? You're telling me you're afraid of looking crazy because you don't want to look crazy to defend your community, or you don't want to look crazy when you invest in your community, or when you talk about black power and black love and loving self and all this other stuff. But yet, still, you can walk around the whole city of Newberry with neon green hair.
It's shameful.
Oh, okay. I got you. I understand the logic. It makes perfect sense to me. So like I say, either you get it or you don't. When are we going to start closing ranks? We try to get as many as we can on board, if they're not on board, when do we stop? Because, like Brother Quali said, this is about to be another Negro movement, and we're going to be in the same predicament, if not worse, when it's all said and done.
And that's real talk. That's real talk. And Tiffany, thank you for what you said. Hell yeah. Me personally, I don't like green hair. Let me tell y'all something. I think that this whole Nicki Minaj movement and all that that's going on, no disrespect to her. She's trying to make her money and all that, but you're slowing up the revolution. I got to say it in the spirit of Dr. Khalid Muhammad and Anasa Jevin. You're slowing up the revolution, Nicki Minaj, if this gets to you and people like you. Y'all have thousands, if not millions, of listeners all across the world, and y'all keep dropping that garbage, and y'all won't put nothing revolutionary in the music. I mean, come on, man.
Mm-hmm. And the ones who do don't get any airplay.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. fuchsia-colored hair and try to imitate Barbie and try to imitate Angela Davis. You a silly coon.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go to the next mm-hmm. caller. 502-742, you're on the air. Black Power, question or comment? 502-742, you're on the air. Question or comment?
All righty then.
We'll go to the next caller. 314-395, you are on the air. Do you have a question or comment, Black Power? 314-395, your hand was up. We're calling on you now. You have a question or comment?
314.
That's you, brother. You're on the air now, Black Power.
All righty then.
We don't know our own phone numbers.
Oh, God. No.
So we go right back to the topic. So my next question now for y'all, because I hear this a lot, and Sister Fasami, I know you hear this, and I know our listening audience hears this. Okay, now. As we soldier here in the hills of North America and do our daily work and our revolutionary work, I always come across somebody who says that we are our own worst enemy. And I hear this mm-hmm. even more so now, you know, that yeah, we shouldn't blame the white man. Why do y'all always talk about the white man? Don't blame the white man, because we are our own worst enemy. It ain't the whites that's killing us. It's the blacks that's killing us. I see black people in my community doing the shooting now. And so I want to know what y'all think about that, because this is all in the terms of full and complete freedom. Has the black man and the black woman, have we become our own worst enemy? Are we
yes.
our own worst enemy?
Yes.
Talk to me on that.
Are you going to take a call, or do you want me to go ahead and elaborate?
I mean, light it up. I mean, I'm serious. Are we all
I'm saying, though, do you see a 678 or a 404 number in queue?
No, ma'am. We jam-packed with calls, and so not yet. No, ma'am. Let's try to.
All right. If you see that, please go ahead and take that call, because I'm going to tell you the truth. We have been personal victims of us being our own worst enemy. You know, as far as the Drop Squad radio that was on. You know, we have been personal victims of this crab mentality, and oh, y'all seem to be more popular, quote unquote, whatever that is, than me. And I've been on here for a year, and y'all been on here for 2 months, and y'all got more listens than I got. How the hell that happened? Now I got to get you canceled. I got to get you taken off the air. So we have been personal victims and victimized by this. Yes, it's counterproductive. Look, just like we were saying on the show last night, not everybody can be the chief. Not everybody can stand in the spotlight. It's mad work to be done in the background. It's mad work to be done on each and every single level. If you're doing your job, you have no time to be jealous of anybody else. You have no time. If you have the time to have the crab mentality, if you have time to be talking about your brothers and sisters and being counterproductive and being an agent provocateur, you're not doing your job. It's a job to be done. And if you're sitting up here backbiting and wondering who shot John and who did what, you're not
right.
doing your job.
Right. That's true.
And that's all I got to say about that.
Well, I mean, are we? Is it really us though, Fasami? Are we our own worst enemy in this? I mean, truthfully, is it us? Is it the black man and the black? Is it Africans? Are we our own worst enemy?
Right now, yeah, because like I already said at the beginning of the show, we've been conditioned to be our own worst enemies, so therefore the white person can sleep. Think about it like this, brother. Let's go back to the plantation, all right? Let's go back to where we were just there on the plantation. It was one white slave master, his white whore, and his little cracker baby, all
right? Right, right.
Now, that being said, he slept well at night. Now, he got about, especially those Jewish slave owners that a lot of people don't know about, but please read the relationship between blacks and Jews. I think it's called, what is it
called? Secret relationship.
His secret relationship, thank you. The secret relationship between black and Jews, that how many of these, the ratio between the Anglo-Saxon whites and the Jewish whites, you know what I'm saying, the Zionists, mm-hmm. how many slaves they own. But, you know, here you got, you know, 300-400 slaves on a plantation, and you mean to tell me you can sleep well at night knowing you didn't rape this man's woman? You didn't sold his child?
Right.
You didn't rape this woman's husband? And you can sleep good at night? We've been conditioned that way, brother.
Right.
Period.
Straight up.
That's the end of the discussion right there. We got a call.
I mean, all right, so we gotta, but hold on for a second. We gotta really dig into that though, because all right, if we are our own worst enemy now, then that means that we should be attacking us, right?
We are attacking.
But we're not.
We are attacking us, brother. Every time you turn on the TV, every time you go on the street corner, anytime you walk outside your dome, your home, your safe haven, you see us attacking one another. That's what the question was. All I see is us attacking each other. That's what we do. We attack each other. The white man ain't got to worry about us because he pitted us against each other, and it's become a condition that we hate each other. So, therefore, he doesn't have to worry about us going over to the white man's neighborhood and attacking him. He can sleep well up in his motherfucking $500 million home, whatever. You know what I'm saying? While we in the lower slums in the ghetto with dirty water, unhealthy food, you know what I'm saying? We got fluoride and all kind of crazy stuff. And just in our water, in our air, the pesticide people come through at nighttime, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, spraying your neighborhood, they say, for mosquitoes.
But that's
see what
I'm saying? I'm saying that, okay, we already established that we have to go nose to nose with the beast for freedom, right? But we attacking ourselves right now because of social conditioning by enemies, what I'm saying. So so should we, because right now, even though we're attacking ourselves, we're not doing it to get free. That's what I'm saying. It's not for freedom. We just poor, starving, and hungry. We attack ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so should the ultimate aim and purpose of our attack be directed towards our people that's committing these acts in the streets? Or where should our aggression and our efforts be at?
You know what? My brother in the chat room asked me that. Gazoo asked me that before. Before I go and clean anybody else's house, I got to clean my own house. And if there's somebody in my house that ain't doing what they're supposed to be doing, they dirty, they bringing filth into this house, they bringing havoc, mayhem, destruction, dissension, tension, counterproductivity into my home, you know what? I got to clean. My house is junky. My house is a mess.
Right.
I got to clean
right.
my own house first. So, of course, we got to deal with them people first. We have to start naming names. We have to start putting them out on Front Street. You know, Creflo Dollars and Bishop Eddie, whatever his name is, down there in Atlanta with the mega church and all them other buffoons and coons and Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson. I don't care if he did have a moment of clarity on Geraldo. You know what it is. I know what it is. Everybody knows what it is. He had a single, every Negro can have a moment of clarity, okay? We got to clean our own house first. But you better trust and believe. You better trust and believe. It ain't going to be hard to clean house and close ranks amongst our own. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's definitely black power. Let's take a call. 678-768. You are on the air with Black Power Radio. Your question is coming.
That's my
black
brother.
Power.
That's my
one
brother
love.
Right there.
One
black
love,
power. Man. Go ahead, Tony. What
black
do you
power,
think? Are we our
power.
Own worst enemy? Should we attack us? And what should our focus be? So just talk to us.
Well, we can't do one without the other, believe it or not. You know, so we have to lay down. Excuse me, Peace Sister. Mommy, this is Brother Majestic.
Hey, Brother Majestic. I actually thought you was Brother God Zulu. That's why I was like, that's my brother, but you're still my brother. But I actually thought you was Brother God Zulu.
Yeah.
What's up?
Yeah, we racing to get in here, get this moment. Peace, God Zulu. The strategy is very diabolical, you know, and we have to call, because everybody got a part to play, and that's the thing, is putting down the plan so people can assume their rightful position, you know, and once their rightful position, once the positions are laid out, then we have enough people that care, we have enough people that want to get involved, and more would come as more stand up to be seen, you know, and it's like if every city was to call out 100,000, 10,000 brothers to come and do just three things. One is patrol the neighborhood. Two, take data. Three, make sure every business in the neighborhood gives to the community, so no one goes without. You know, if the Asian or the Indian has the store, they got to give it up. We're taxing them just like the government tax them. We're taxing them just like our brothers in Somalia taxing them both.
Mugabe.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, so for one, we're protecting ourselves from each other, right? Because we patrol the neighbor, our areas. We're protecting, we're collecting the data so we'll know what each family needs and what they have in relationship to skills, gifts, and talents. All right, and we put all those into use, and we barter, and we deal with each other. All right, at the same time, we're showing the power of our significance to whichever country on the continent isn't already ran by the cracker. We get one of them to support us. All we need is their support and them to have our back. Every nationality has a country that has their back, except for us. So we have to formulate that into its totality, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we got all this going on in major cities. What then happens, we tell them, we don't ask them, we tell them, this belongs to us. If you want to see it in court, then you just need to show the cameras to the world that we're telling you this, because the world's our court and we have it wherever we stand. Now, within their destruction, you got to remember this, they can't even trust their own children, because their own children try to do everything that we do. All right. Well, let me back up. Let's go to ours that minds are confused and need to be washed. We have to do the drop squad. It's a must that we warehouse their asses and we wash their brain. That is a must. We can make it look fancy or we could just straight out do it. You know, either way, it has to be done. It's a must. And until each one of our people realize that as long as one of us suffer, we all suffer. And the only way to do that is to show that common bond. What is the common bond? The common bond is you ain't got shit, you ain't going to have shit, and they ain't going to give you shit.
That's
common
right.
Common bond. Somebody in your family suffering. Somebody you know is suffering. You know? And the thing is, you have to show them that, because their minds, a lot of their minds are cloudy. You know, if it ain't cloudy through the drugs, the weed, whatnot, it's cloudy through the TV, through the music, through the pipe dream, things like that. So whatever it is, they cloud it. So we have to show them this. We have to run the tape before them. Then we have to show them, well, why you ain't did shit about your mother and father with diabetes? Because you don't know how. But guess what? The information how to stop that shit, turn around, is right here. What's keeping you from looking at it? Man, turn that other shit off. Turn that music off. Hear yourself think. You know, put that shit down. Quit smoking. Your mind too cloudy. You need to see how to do. You need to put this right fruit and vegetables in the blender, you know, and blend that shit up and give it to your mother. And then 3 weeks later, she's coming off a dialysis machine. Shit like that.
Right.
You know, we have to really show them. And we got teachers. We got teachers. That's all they're good for. They ain't good for shooting shit. They ain't good for nothing. They're good for teaching.
They ain't good for fighting. They ain't good for nothing. That's right.
They to be the ones teaching. You know, somebody got their good teaching. Right. We got that common bond, and when we expose that common bond and we let the people know, well, we can eliminate that. We can eliminate that if you just do this. What else you doing with your time? Well, damn, you've been doing all this with your time. Look at all that fucking weeds and grass in your backyard. Put you some damn potatoes back there. Put you this back there. This is how you do it. You know, and if we got our brothers, and not excluding the sisters, but if we got our people on the street in each city, 10,000 minimum committed, we can cover every area, and we can start this, and we can do this. And to tell you the truth, nobody is going to not want to be a part of it, all right? Nobody's going to not want to be a part of it because the United Snakes have actually provided us the best opportunity, because they got nowhere else to go.
Nope.
But come home. But if we ain't got home straight, right, if we ain't got everything out there positioned and the intel on how to do this and how to do that and the willing bodies, then, you know, so we got to get to 10,000. We got to get to 10,000 in each city or the surrounding metro areas of each city in each state to get busy. You know, to get busy, lay the floor mat out, and this is what we do. And we got all those skill sets, You know, and if we have to shut down the neighborhood stores and go out to the brother that owned the farm in the country to get the stuff from him to drive it into our neighborhoods, so they ain't got to go to the little Korean market on the corner, then that's what we'll do. No, you ain't got to go there. Hold on. The truck will be around here in 20 minutes. Just hold on. It'll be around here in 2 hours. You need something to hold you over? Go next door. I just left there. They got something for you. You see what I'm saying? That's the way we have to do. We have to treat it like a village because that's the only way we're going to protect it. That's the only way we're going to move forward. Now, we can go toe-to-toe. Go ahead.
No. You go ahead, Brother Majestic. No. You go ahead. We can go toe to toe.
Yeah. We can go toe to toe. But we have to remember, as we go toe to toe, we got some of those that, for example, if shit had to go down right now, I got a place to go. I got a female already picked out for my 12-year-old son. Her ass going too. Got permission with her parents. Everything's lovely. If they don't have to come up for 10 years, while I'm doing my thing, at least I know they'd be ready to reproduce. You see what I'm saying?
That's right.
They'd be ready to carry forward. You know, so it's things that we have to do, and we have to put it in place. But before we make certain moves, we gotta position everything. And back to this, something that's really vital and that could really change everything is if we had a country or two or three on the continent that had our back. But see,
brother,
they can't do that.
Brother, I'm going to cut you off right here and tell you, number one, we have 7 minutes remaining, and number two, I personally, and you need, I gave you my number, you need to utilize it so we can actually connect. Matter of fact, I need to see you tomorrow if possible. If you can't, I understand. But you need to get at me right after this show.
I will.
Because that is already is going down. Okay? And that's all I'm going to say.
That's good enough. I'll call you, Joe.
All right.
Thank you, Brother Majestic. We thank you. We're going to go to the next caller. We've got a few minutes left. Let's bring you on. 404-694. You are on the air, Black Power Radio. Your question or comment?
Hey, Black Power family, what's going on?
Now, that's my brother right there.
Black Power. Hey, check this out. I know y'all ain't got nothing but a few minutes left, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to piggyback off of Brother Majestic and that telephone he got with them turbo boosters on. He beat me up in here tonight. what you said is absolutely correct, okay? We need to have a nation or two of our own and a country or two or three on the continent that has our back, all right? We also have to understand that it's going to be a multi-pronged approach at this situation. We're dealing with a society of people, us included, that are slaves to what they see. And when they see things that work, they usually follow it, okay? So that lead by example thing, it has to take place. When we get out there in the streets and we want to confront this power structure, we have to say the right things and do the right things when we are in their face. I'm not talking about talking indirectly to them. We have to let them know that there is a reason why they are in full riot gear. You are in full riot gear because you are afraid of me. So since you are afraid of me and you felt the need to come out in force and full riot gear because you have agitated me, let me go on ahead and make that valid for you. Be afraid, because the next time somebody gets killed unjustly, we coming straight to the precinct to get your ass. We have to start speaking in those terms. We have to start letting them know that there will be consequences and repercussions beyond marching or standing around and protesting when they do shit that they ain't got no business doing. When the regular people see that, and that's what I'm using as lack of a better term, when the regular people see that, they gon' want in. Just like Majestic said, they gon' want in. When they see you, it's just like what it was in the 60s. When they see you out there with the shotguns and you ain't bullshitting and you ain't playing and you ready to die, they will join you. But right now, everybody is afraid. And it's going to take somebody to step beyond that fear and embrace courage. We are all scared. It's a natural human emotion. We are all scared. But the brave people are the ones who understand that fear and move beyond it. That's courage. That's bravery. All right? Damn worried about dying. You're going to do that anyway. It's about how you die and how you live and what you died for. Other than that, Black Power family, love you for something.
Wait a minute. Stop rushing off the phone. We got 3 minutes. Listen.
3 minutes left.
Man, listen. Hush. Check this out. I need to know, one of these Wednesdays, you're going to be my guest.
No.
It's going to be at 8 p.m.
You're going to be fussing?
Yeah, that's how we do.
You're going to be fussing at me?
Yeah, that's how we do.
All right.
I love you, brother.
You too, brother. Black Power.
Black Power.
Oh, sister, I'm sorry. I said brother then. I love the brother too. And you too.
No, Black Power. Definite Black Power to you, comrade. Definite Black Power. Definite Black Power. And thank you for everything that you said. It's still, I mean, with all that said, what everybody said, it's still out there now. We have to clean up house. We got to clean up house. But I want to tell y'all, in case you didn't know, and I know y'all know, we got a 6,000-year-old open enemy that's still walking around, a pale-faced, blue-eyed, sometimes blonde-haired, brown-haired cracker that's still walking around causing problems. And so this is, we're going to have to do a part two, because my thing is, and this is real, that even though we killing ourselves and even though we hurting ourselves and all in genocide, you cannot blame the web. You can never blame the web. You got to knock the web down, but you can't blame it. You got to blame the damn spider. You know what I mean? So we're going to have to do a part two for Sami, because we can.
We're going to have to start making these shows 2 hours. That's what we're going to have to start doing, brother, because we ain't got enough time. Honestly, for real, we're going to start making these 2 hours. People, I want you to join me Wednesday, 8 p.m., same time, excuse me, same place. 8 p.m. Wednesday is going down.
a woman's place in the revolution. Fasami's going to drop it. For all of y'all that think that the sisters shouldn't be in the movement, you tune in Wednesday. All the sisters in the New Black Panther Party, y'all tune in. All of y'all that's in the RBG.
And I'm doing roll call. I'm doing roll call. For all you Panthers out there listening, I'm doing roll call. If you ain't there, I'm calling you out.
Oh, wow. That's Wednesday, 8 o'clock. So we got 10 seconds. Look, love y'all, family. Love y'all. Tune in and join us again Wednesday, 8 p.m. And as always, we sign off with a Black Power.
Black Power.
Them. Neighborhood know we coming. Jake hate him, snakes cannot violate him. Pimps memorize his lines verbatim. He reps in YO, gives he knows Toronto's. Not church, this how we tied though. He walks in tenement, sleeps at a super fly condo. My kind of nigga, my icon, my idol. No certificate for this misfit who handle business. The odds stacked against him, he fights back, Mac and business. Never puts cash or ass before friendship. He laughs last, and some die young, he is still existing. Somehow he got around the pitfalls of the system. When he walks, we watch. When he talks, we listen. The Caesar, the monsters, the grandiose, the martyrs, the hell on earth pompers, Ellsworth, Bumpy Johnsons, the Harlemites, the Garveyites, black as the credit card we swipe, popping down the night for all of mine. I can see myself back at the Audubon, Malcolm on the podium, shells dropped to linoleum, swipe those, place them on display at the Smithsonian, next to only gems that were left behind by holy men, infectious, charisma of those who gave us direction, the anti-sexes, resistance against oppression, progressive thinking, ghetto speakers, protesters against the colored only section, to the genesixin, the frost mixing, the contradiction, the cross, the crucifixion, the loss we took for sinning, on Easter's back inscription, that it was written, that nothing is coincidence, and they took our leaders and they lynched them.